So several weeks ago, someone suggested to me that we do a sermon series talking about the fact that fear is not of God, that Christ came to drive away our fears. And I don't know about you, but with the events of this week, that seems that that person was probably being guided by the Holy Spirit and saying something that we needed to hear. We just didn't know we needed to hear it yet. So I've been thinking about that a lot, and I've also been thinking about what I wanted to say in reference to our theme for today and also in what's going on in our world. And so I'm going to be preaching a little different than I've had for the last several weeks. I've got some quotes that I thought would help illustrate the sermon, so I admit I'll be looking at the paper a little bit more than I've been trying to lately. But hopefully we can all ponder together, how is Christ coming to remind us that fear needs to be driven away, that God wants us to love each other, and that God wants us to work for a world where we need not live in fear. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words this day. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Unfortunately, people often seem to think fear is a good motivator. There was a famous German king and general named Frederick the Great who lived more than 200 years ago, and he said that he wanted his soldiers more scared of what their officers would do to them if they didn't do what they were told than they were of the bullets and the cannonballs that were being fired at them by their enemies. He thought fear was the only way he could motivate his troops. And there was a writer in Italy about 500 years ago named Machiavelli who gave this advice if a person was a king or a prince. He said, it's better to be feared than loved, unless you can be both. But you notice he never says it's better to be loved and just stops there. He thought fear was vital if a person wanted to keep control of the world. And unfortunately, people have often tried to use fear to convince others to follow Jesus. There's a famous preacher named Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s who preached a famous sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I'm seeing at least one of you nod, you probably had to read it or heard it at some point. And he described God as human beings were just spiders that God was holding over a fire. It's not really an image of God that I like a particular amount. And people talk about putting the fear of God in someone. And of course, in our scripture reading today from Isaiah, we hear about the fear of the Lord or the fear of God. It's a phrase that appears time and time again in the Old Testament. And more recently, if any of you remember that song, Small Town by John Cougar Mellencamp, there's always that line in that song kind of bothers me. He says, I learned to fear Jesus in a small town. Are we really supposed to fear Jesus? Are we to fear God? Are we to, because of our fear of punishment, have our ways changed and do what God wants us to do? The Bible does say the fear of God is the root of all wisdom. So what does that mean? Are we supposed to be scared of God? We'll stick a pin in that. We'll come back to it in a moment. We humans have a problem, okay? God, the creator of all that is, has decided to be in relationship with us. And that is an unbelievable blessing. But our minds cannot possibly comprehend all that God is. And so we humans try to make comparisons between God and things that we can understand. And from a very, very early time in human history, people have compared God to kings, to earthly human kings, or queens, or emperors, or whatever it might be, wherever you live. God is the king. God is the ruler of all that is, but God is not a human king. You see, human rulers aren't perfect. Human rulers, when they have great power, often abuse it. There's a saying I remember my freshman social studies teacher in high school saying to us over and over again, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Have any of you heard that expression? And sadly, throughout history, people have taken the advice of guys like Machiavelli and said, I will make people terrified of me. I will be so brutal and harsh that people will fear me, and because of their fear, they will do what I want them to do. And that is how earthly rulers have often acted. Thanks be to God that God is not a human king up in the sky. Rather, God says, no, I will love you. I will guide you. I'm not going to try to scare you into being into relationship with me. I will invite you to be part of something so much more and to know a love from me through Jesus Christ that will change your hearts and will change the world. If we look at our passage from Isaiah, look at the kind of ruler that Isaiah describes. A ruler who is truly guided by God will be guided by compassion and justice, will speak kindly and show love to the meek of the earth, will not be someone who is a tyrant ruling by fear, but will instead love people, because fear does not bring out the best in us. Cowering does not bring out the best in us. So if we can't understand God as an earthly king, how should we understand God? Well, let me read you this quote by Christian author Dick Murray from the 1980s. The word of God is Jesus Christ, and the words of the Bible tell us about that word. Therefore, when we study the words of the Bible, we always look behind and through those words for God's word, Jesus Christ. End quote. So rather than trying to understand God through a human lens, through an earthly king, maybe we should look to the scriptures and look to how the scriptures talk about Jesus Christ our Lord, and that will give us a much better image of who God really is. So what does the Apostle Paul say about Jesus Christ in this reading that we had for today? Well, first, Paul says we should be like Christ, but he talks about how Christ emptied himself, how Christ humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. To die on a cross was meant to inspire fear, and it was what the Romans did to the people they considered the lowest of the low. If you were an important person, they might kill you, but they'd kill you some other way. But if you were a slave, if you were a rebel, if you were someone who didn't matter, they would hang you on that cross, try to scare everyone else into doing what's right. But Jesus Christ, fully human and fully divine, containing within himself a power that we could not imagine, humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. Christ's lordship does not come sitting on a throne, holding a sword, dispensing vicious justice. Christ's lordship does not come from scaring us. Christ's lordship is revealed that Christ was willing to be in solidarity with us, to take the very worst that we humans inflict on each other, and to say, no, it is not through violence and power that I will rule over you. I will change the world with compassion and justice and humility, and above all other things, love. So what do we do with this idea of the fear of the Lord then? Do we just not fear the Lord? The Bible says God is love, and the Bible also says perfect love will drive out all fear. So does that mean we don't have anything to fear from God? Well, not exactly. How many of you have read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis? I expected we'd see some hands raising on that one. If you're not familiar with that book, in the book, C.S. Lewis creates a fantasy world called Narnia, and there's a lot of animals that talk in Narnia, and there's some children that come to visit Narnia. But the key thing to understand is he's not really just talking about a fantasy world called Narnia. The whole book is to try and help us understand Christian theology. Don't worry, if you want to read it later, I'm not going to spoil anything. But I want you to hear a specific passage from that about Aslan. Aslan is the figure in the book that is a lion. But he stands in for Jesus Christ, because Christ is sometimes called the Lion of Judah. So listen how C.S. Lewis has the characters in the book describe Aslan. Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good, Could it be that Jesus is good, that God is supremely good, but not quite safe? In other words, one has to be careful about what they try to do, lest God be opposed to what they are trying to do. If we look again to that passage from Isaiah that Dylan read, a passage that Christians have long understood to be referring to Jesus, what do we make of this quote? "He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." Will Jesus, the one who humbled himself even to death on a cross, also he himself kill the wicked and punish them for their sin? Well, I'm going to offer this observation on this, something that I believe with my whole heart. Jesus did not come to be a judge who would take delight in punishing the wicked. But if somebody wants to do something that's going to hurt the innocent, Christ will be opposed to them. Christ will do everything in Christ's power. God will do everything in God's power to stop them. So let me put this in a hypothetical but specific terms. Suppose there's a person who sought to make a lot of money. And they were able to make a lot of money, but unfortunately in making whatever they were making, they made a lot of pollution. And what if they decided, well, I could spend millions of dollars to clean this pollution up the right way, or I could just let it flow into the river or the lake or the stream. And in so doing that, they put the health of thousands of people at risk. Now, does God hate that person for doing that? No, God still loves that person. God still offers that person a chance at a U-turn, a chance at redemption. But God will do absolutely everything in God's power to stop that person doing what they want to do if it puts others in danger. Even if that person decided to take some of this money that they earned and start Christian schools and open new churches, God is still going to say, no, I'm going to send people to stop this person what they're doing, because though they think they can buy forgiveness with their money, they need to fundamentally stop hurting someone to begin with. God, the lion, is not safe if you have evil plans. God is dangerous if you intend evil for others. God is not going to let wickedness continue to hurt people forever. God is even here and now fighting the wickedness of this world. God is working to end the kind of anti-Semitism that led a madman, a terrorist, to walk into that synagogue in Pittsburgh yesterday and shoot down 11 innocent people. God is working to end the kind of racism that led another terrorist to walk into a Kroger in Louisville, Kentucky, and shoot two African-American people, two people in their 60s who were no harm to anyone simply because he wanted to kill someone who didn't have the same complexion as him. God is going to step in and fight to end the evil in this world that puts the innocent at risk. So if a person has evil plans to hurt others, God is a danger to them. Not because God can't wait to throw them into the fires of hell, but that God is going to stop their plans in every way that God can. So let me put this in a realistic example of how God uses us to thwart evil plans. I don't know if I've told some of you this story before, but if I have, I think it's worth telling again. When I was a domestic missionary many years ago, one of my fellow missionaries was Se Young. She was the first citizen of South Korea to come to the United States through the United Methodist Church to be a domestic missionary in the program that we were involved in. She was sent to a United Methodist ministry in San Francisco, California. Now, it turned out within the neighborhood where she was that there were some people involved in human trafficking. Specifically, they were tricking young women from East Asia into coming to the United States with the promise of work that could improve their lives and the lives of their families. But when they arrived here, the young women were forced into prostitution and other illegal activities and put in great, great danger. This man was engaged in an evil that was putting human lives at risk. Now, one of these young women was arrested and was taken to a police station. She knew very little English, but one of the police officers could tell in the midst of the fact that she was very scared that what she was trying to do was speak Korean, but no one in the police precinct could speak Korean. This police officer knew that my associate, Se Young, from South Korea, was active in ministry in the neighborhood. The police officer went to where Se Young was and said, "Please come here. I need you to come down to the precinct. Please talk to this young woman. We will protect her. If she turns state evidence, we can give her another chance to restart her life, but we need her to be willing to testify against the person who has abused her and others. The young Korean woman was very scared and very embarrassed and humiliated by what had happened to her. But Se-young talked to her for hours and finally convinced her to turn state's evidence. The police officers and the district attorney were able to provide safety for her, able to provide a way for this woman to start her life over again, and most importantly, they were able to take down this group of people who were abusing some of God's children. God is not going to let evil stand. If you have evil intentions, God is dangerous, and you should fear God. But God does not desire to throw us into the eternal fires of hell. God desires us to turn around, to repent, to change. God is calling all of us to speak out, to stand up, to do what we can to help fix the brokenness of this world in Jesus' name. Love is greater than fear. It's not all about being terrified of God. It's about being in relationship with God and feeling the love of God and sharing that love with all those around us. We live in an age of fear, and we've seen what that fear can do. We've seen how bigots, terrorists in this country, have killed people this week purely because of where their ancestors came from. There is evil in our world, yes, but there is also potential within us. We human beings are amazing creatures with the potential to do profoundly good things. But we are broken creatures, and we will not be able to do those profoundly good things without the help of God, without the love of God. God asks us to step up, to do something to make this world better, to help the love known to us through Jesus Christ overcome the fear in this world. God calls us to do these things, and God will give us the strength to do them. May we be followers of the Christ who humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. And may we likewise be willing to do what needs doing in this world. And know that God's love is with us, and God's love seeks to have our redemption and the redemption of all creation and all people in Jesus' name. May it be so. Amen.